Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
Right after the early church was dominated about the relationship between Christ and God, and therefore we came to the point that the early church council, as an affirmation of faith, said that Jesus Christ is fully man and fully God. Came the Reformation, and it was a great time of clarifying Christendom's doctrine about the Bible. What do we believe about revelation? How does it work? What is it? What does it mean to our lives? It seems like that our age is an age that has had to deal with the problem of who is the Holy Spirit, how does He work in our midst, and what is He doing in our churches today? And that's a great task, but as all the tasks of Christendom, as we come to the Bible, we wish the Bible would say A, B, C, D, period, and have that be it, but the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible is not a theology book, it's a relationship book. And so the only place that we learn about the Holy Spirit is how He works in the lives of individual churches and individual places. And so we make inferences from how the Holy Spirit worked in certain places and use them as a doctrine to say this is how the Holy Spirit works. We're going to do that today to the church at Corinth found in Corinthians chapter 12. The fourth chapter of Ephesians is extremely parallel in its theology. And every point that Vernon read in Ephesians 4 is repeated and amplified in 1 Corinthians 12. My title for this is Unity, Not Uniformity, and Activity, Not Passivity. I know that the title's probably longer than the sermon, but it says what I want to say about spiritual gifts. We get so hung up sometimes as Christians that everybody should be like me. We often get very nervous if someone expresses the Christian faith different than what we've always heard it to be. And I think it's a little bit of spiritual pride on our part, thinking that we, quote, are the right ones. I would say to you that my understanding of the Christian life is a continual struggle between what the Word of God says, what I know my life to be, and how the Spirit of God speaks to me as I try to live in His will. Therefore, I think that we are continually growing, and to say the last word on some things is a very dubious kind of thing. The Holy Spirit is one of those kind of areas where I don't think we can say the last word today, the definitive word, but I think we can add maybe some kind of balance to this problem in our day of what about the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And therefore, beginning in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 4 through 11, and I want to read all of them before I go back. So follow with me, please, in your Bible. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another us interpretation of tongues. But to one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. Now that is a very, very definitive passage on the Holy Spirit. It is the longest passage from 1 Corinthians 12 through 1 Corinthians 14 to deal with the Holy Spirit's work in the world. And this little paragraph is almost the essence of all the rest that's said in 12 through 14. It's a boiling down, it's a summary beginning, if you please, and the rest of 12 through 14 is merely an amplification of the major points found here. Now, let's look, and I want to show you an outline, because if you see a structure, you'll get the idea. You notice the balance between verses 4, 5, and 6, between three things are mentioned. My translation is very good by keeping the idea of varieties or differences or given out kind of things. And notice it says there are a variety of gifts, there are a variety of ministries, there are varieties of effects. Now, the ancient world was used to writing in parallel thought patterns. And when you find something that repeats the same series of words, you know that what they're doing is linking things together in a logical kind of sequence for our edification. Now, the word gift is a word that we get the word. Have you ever heard somebody called a charismatic today? The word charisma is the New Testament, the Greek word for gift.
and usually it's associated with the Spirit. Now, the word for grace, simple grace, is the word charis. So you can tell that the word charisma is a derivative of the word grace. And the implication being that these gifts of the Spirit are not earned, they are not merit badges of spirituality, but they are freely bestowed gifts of the Spirit of God, given without thought of merit or rank, but given to the church, and in a loving way, the same as God gave His Son, God gives these gifts through His Spirit. Now that is a beautiful thing to me, to see the word grace and the word gift come from the very same word. Now, the second one is the word ministries. Now, King James has the word administration, but that doesn't relate to me very well. It's the word for service. It's the word, if you please, for deaconing. Now, deaconing was not always an office. It was always a function. Deacons are not whole office holders. They are doers of spiritual kind of things. So this does not speak of an office of a deacon, but it speaks of the ministry of the church. It speaks of gifts, and then it speaks of ministry. The same thing, spiritual gifts and ministries are the same kind of thing. Then thirdly, it speaks of effects. Now, King James has the word operations. This word in Greek is a word that means active energy. It's the word that speaks of the activity of God in our world. So three things right here said. Number one, that spiritual gifts are a grace kind of unmerited gift to the church. We sometimes call these spiritual gifts ministries, and they're all kinds of ministries. But a unique thing about the ministry of individual Christians is that it really is the work of God in the life of the believers to the whole church. Now, notice the second thing. It speaks of varieties and varieties and varieties. Then it speaks of the same, the same, the same. And it mentions the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Now, I will agree with you that the concept or the word for Trinity, the word Trinity, never appears in the Bible. The word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. But many, many passages like this. In Ephesians 4, the same kind of thing is there, except God is listed first, and then the Lord, and then the Spirit. Many passages, Paul especially, relates the activity of God the Father with the sacrifice of the Son, and the channel of that grace in the world today through the Holy Spirit. So to me here, what we have is a beautiful expression of the Trinity. God, one God, in three manifestations, Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, do you see where it talks about in verse 6, where it says, all things and all persons. Now, my translation is a bit interpreted. If you have a New American Standard Version, you'll see the word person is in italics. When any word in King James or any other translation is in italics, it means it's the interpreter's understanding of that, what it means. When it says that God is all in all, there are many verses that speak about that in the New Testament. The most beautiful is 1 Corinthians 15:28, and also Ephesians 4:6, and Ephesians 1:23, which speaks about God being all in all. Now that to me says that God is still in charge of this world, of this creation, of history, of emotions. God is in control. And even Jesus Christ Himself, when all things have been subject unto Him, He is going to give all things back to the Father to which they belong. Now that tells to me that God is a unity, even though He has three manifestations. Now, you see in verse 7 where it says, but to each one is given the manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. Two more basic principles in understanding spiritual gifts. The first one was they're given without merit, without being deserved. They're not a rank of spirituality, if you please. This number two and three under this of major principles in dealing with spiritual gifts is that each one is given. Now, if you look at verse 11 down there, the same thing is said in little different words. But each one, the same Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. Now, I want to tell you this, and I want to tell you very, very distinctly, and I want you to listen very closely. Everybody, please look at me, okay? Every one of you who are a child of God here this morning have a spiritual gift. There are no exceptions. If you are a believer, if you are in Christ, if you are a member of the family of God, if you are a child of God, you have a spiritual gift. You think, I didn't know that. Yes, you do. And the Spirit himself, not you, picked it out. Now, that was the problem at Corinth. Some people wanted certain kinds of spiritual gifts. I want this gift. I want that gift. The Bible says to me in verse 11 that if you are griping at God because of the spiritual gift that he's given you, that you are demeaning the Holy Spirit and his choice for your life. God gives the gift. We don't earn them or merit them, or we don't pick them out. But God has given each one of us in this room a spiritual gift. I guess my next question would be, how many of you know what your spiritual gift is? Would you look around, please, everybody? Raise your hand real high, please, if you know what your spiritual gift is. Now, Trinity, do you see the problem? How can a man function in the spiritual unity of the body of Christ if a majority of believers, for one, don't know they have a spiritual gift, and number two, don't know what their spiritual gift is? If God has fitted us together, which with this passage down through verse 12 on talks about the unity of the body of Christ, it means that some are eyes and some are hands and some are feet and some are toes and some are other parts. But the deal is that we're a body, and we function as a body only when the nose knows it's a nose. That's kind of poetic, isn't it? Only when we understand what our place in the church is and when we function that place are we fully the body of Christ. Now, I would assume that the most of us are an aggregate of people who come together to worship God because we know that we need to and need him in our life and because out of gratitude. But I want to tell you the church of Christ should not be simply an aggregate of people that come together, but we should be a functioning, ministering body in the world. And the problem of the church today is that we are not a ministering body. We are simply an aggregate of people that come together once or twice a week and have a group meeting and then go back. We're not organized. We're not spiritually functioning as God would have us to be. And I want to say to you again, every one of you has a spiritual gift. When people start telling me, oh, I'm just too young to have a spiritual gift, or I'm just too old to have a spiritual gift, or I'm just too dumb to have a spiritual gift, or I'm just too busy to have a spiritual gift, and all the excuses that you use why you don't care or know what your spiritual gift is a mockery to God if this past is true. God has placed in every believer's life a supernatural grace gift for the service of God's church. Now, here it is, the next part, very important. To each one is given individually a spiritual gift. The word manifestation of the Spirit simply is a Greek word that means clearly revealed, openly exposed. Now, notice we're not openly exposed. The Spirit of God is openly exposed in us. And here's the real clincher for the common good. Most people who I know who have a spiritual gift and understand what it is, all of us tend to get a little prideful about it. Now, a spiritual gift is never given, hear me good, is never given for the personal edification of the individual believer in whose life it resides. A spiritual gift is always given for the common good. To put it another way, for the body of Christ as a whole. Spiritual gifts are not merit badges for spirituality. They are functioning ministries for the body of Christ. Now, you say, look at all the lists there. Do you believe in all those gifts? Yes, I certainly do. I do not understand all of them. I don't know how they're active in our day. But friends, you've got to be pretty bold to say that the gifts listed in the Bible aren't gifts. And you've got to take on some pretty fancy stuff for yourself. Now, who do we think we are saying certain gifts aren't and certain gifts are? If the Bible is our authority, we better listen to the Bible. And the Bible says these gifts are given. And these kinds of gifts are listed over 5 times in the New Testament. Sometimes it's not all of them are included. Sometimes they are. Is this to you? The real problem in our day is that people have become prideful. I think the whole problem is that God would love to give the church many more gifts, but we don't know how to use them. We become selfish. We become egotistical. We become, if you please, self-righteous because we have a little spiritual power. Now, I'm going to tell you, every one of you has a spiritual gift. You say, Bob, how do I know what mine is? I have some guidelines for my life that I want to share with you that are very practical for me. Number one, have you asked God, Lord, what is my spiritual gift? You don't have to use those words. You can say, Lord, what is your will for my life in the church? Same prayer, exact same prayer. Lord, what is my niche, if you please, in the church? Where should I serve? What should I do? Where should I be? That's where it fits right into missionary service. There are some of you who have the sound of my voice, that God has called out to be missionaries. But you've said no, and you've repressed it, and you wouldn't let God work in your life. Now, I want to tell you, God has given the church every gift she needs to win the world to Christ. Why isn't the world won to Christ? Because the church is not functioning in her spiritual gifts. You see, it's not the problem with God not wanting to. It's the problem with the church not wanting to. We're so comfortable in our pew. We're so comfortable in our fancy homes. We're so comfortable with our bank account. We're so comfortable with our lifestyle that God forbid that he should ask me to give up. I think it's sometimes abysmal the way we treat God. We spend more time thinking about what's best for me and mine and how am I going to spend my next vacation and what can I do with all my money and how can I invest it and what kind of insurance should I buy and what kind of car should I get and what kind of home should I... How long have you spent in what God's will for your life is? Number two, do you listen to people who talk to you and say, I think your gift is. I think you really teach good. Could your gift be teaching? I think you give so liberally and selflessly. Could your gift be giving? I think you help people so much, you go visit the sick, you go to visit the widows. Could your gift be one of visiting? Do you listen to other people as they talk to you about what they see in your life? Number two, have you ever witnessed somebody who you think is spiritually mature and said, what do you think my spiritual gift is as you look at me? Number three, what area in the Christian church are you naturally drawn to? Do you have a longing in your heart to preach the gospel? Do you have a longing in your heart to teach? Do you have a longing in your heart to visit for God? Do you have a longing in your heart to give to God's kingdom? Do you have a longing in your heart for those kinds of things? That may be how God is leading you to the deepest longings of your heart, the best life that you have, if you please. Now, I want to say again, every one of you in this building today has a spiritual gift. Judgment Day, in my understanding, Christians are not going to stand before God to say, I have sinned or I haven't sinned, because Jesus Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin, if you please. We have been totally, totally delivered from the penalty of sin in our life. As I understand Judgment Day, according to Matthew 25, it's a judgment of what have you done with your spiritual gift. Some folks take their spiritual gift and bury it in a hole and never use it. Others use their gift and their fold, their increase is 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. I want to say to you with everything I can say this morning that there is no grading of spiritual gifts. Missionaries aren't on the top list. Preachers aren't on the top of the list. There is no grading of spiritual gifts. God gives the gifts as God sees fit. They aren't a mark of spirituality. They are a mark of yieldedness, caringness, openness. Now, friends, I want to tell you what. You're going to stand before God for what you've done with your spiritual gift. You're not responsible for mine. God's not going to say, well, you never did preach, well, you can't come in. You're not responsible to preach. But as Jeremiah would say, woe unto God if I preach not the word. It's like a fire in my bones. I couldn't live and not preach. But there are some things in your life that you ought not to be able to live unless you're doing. And the reason some of you are so frustrated Christians is that you're trying to live for yourself when God has put within you a spiritual gift and a great desire to function in that spiritual gift. You say, well, what kind of spiritual gifts are you talking about? Let's look at some of the spiritual gifts, if you please. Could we? They're found in verse 10. The first one, well, let's look at this. Verse 8. Wisdom and knowledge. Now, I don't know how to distinguish these real well. It seems to me that wisdom is more of a practical understanding of how to live the Christian life. I know some people who do not have the academic training that I have, but who I feel perfectly confident going to and saying, what do you think about this issue and that issue? Because I believe they have wisdom from God. Now, knowledge, I think, is more the area of academic knowledge. If I want to ask somebody about the tense of a Greek verb, I go to someone who I believe is academically qualified to talk about the tense of a Greek verb, and they may have the gift. I think that my gift to this church is probably the gift of teaching and the gift of knowledge. Now, that's where God has given me. It doesn't mean I'm smarter than you. Doesn't mean I'm more educated than you. It simply means that God has put within my body a spiritual gift, the gift of pastor teacher. Now, what's the gift of faith? I thought everybody had faith. This is not saving faith. This is wonder-working faith. This is Matthew 17:20. If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, say that mountain be removed to the sea, that mountain will go to the sea, friends. This is wonder-working, miraculous, earth-moving, powerful kind of faith. Have you ever known somebody when they pray things get done? Have you? You ever known somebody whose face just seemed to radiate and things just seemed to happen where they were? I've known folks like that. Now, the next one is healing. Oh, my goodness. Let's take that one out. We don't know what to do with that. Miracles? No, can't have that either. Tongues? My soul, take it out. Now, friends, I don't understand all these things, but I want to tell you what. The Word of God says the Spirit of God gave these gifts. Who in the world do you say are not gifts? Now, there's two groups in our day. If you don't do these kinds of things, you're not of God. If you do those kinds of things, you're of the devil. I'm a middle-of-the-road man. I kind of agree with Gamaliel when he said, if it's of God, who are we to be found fighting against it? If it's of God, we can't stop it. We better get on his side. If it's not of God, it'll die on its own, and we don't have to kick it in the grave. Now, friends, use a little smarts, will you? If God's in something, you can't stop it whether you like it or not. If God's not, it's going to die, because everything of man dies. So, you say, do you believe all these are gifts? Yes, I do. A real question in my own ministry has been, why don't we have healing services here? The New Testament talks of a healing gift, and the New Testament's healing gift is centered in the local church. Not in any kind of itinerant kind of movement. It's in a local church, James 5. Why don't we have one? Well, I don't know when we don't. You say, what about speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, interpretation of spirits? I want to tell you in my own life and how I came to this. As a new believer, I went to a Methodist church half my life because my parents never went to church with me. And I went to a Methodist church, and then I went to a Baptist church, and I didn't really have a background in either way. I didn't have a background in knowing and being committed to Jesus Christ, but no denominational tag, if you please. The day I was licensed as a Baptist preacher, I went to a lady who was in a Holiday Inn in Houston, Texas. Her name is Gertrude Tyser. She is an Assembly of God faith healer. And I went to the service for a particular purpose with this in mind. I didn't know all the theological controversy that surrounds this thing. I was just a dumb young kid about to be licensed as a Baptist preacher. And I went down front and I told this lady, I'm being licensed this afternoon as a Baptist preacher. And if there's anything that God's got for me, I want it in my ministry. And she laid hands on me and prayed, and to everyone's astonishment, nothing happened. May have been spiritual callousness. Anyway, I want to tell you, I was perfectly open to anything that God had for me, and for me, it was not so. Therefore, in my understanding of it, every gift is not for every believer, and no gift is for every believer except possibly the gift of love. Now, my friends, there are people in this auditorium who have all the gifts that the Bible speaks about. I don't know how to use them in every instance. I don't know what to do with them as a local pastor. I don't know how to handle them in our day. I think there is some distinction between the early church before the canon was formed and our church today. The miracles of Jesus were to confirm the Word when there was no written revelation, and I see a difference personally in my theology between the early church and the book of Acts and when the apostles were alive and the church today. But I stand ready to be corrected, I promise you, as the Bible reveals more of its truth to me. Now, here's the whole thing. You may not have one of the glamorous gifts that get up here behind a pulpit. You may not have one of the outspoken gifts that shows, like tongues or healings or that kind of thing. But I want to tell you, there is no spiritual distinction between gifts. Paul says that tongues is the least of the gifts. And I've heard folks just rail against that, saying, you're just the least of gifts and you're unspiritual. And that doesn't mean they're unspiritual at all. It means that tongues, because it only edifies the person who speaks in tongues, is the last on the list, not because it's inferior spiritually, but because it does not build up the whole church. The reason that prophecy is number one is because it builds up the whole church. If you do not believe me, please read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 when you go home. And let me challenge you again to say, if you are just sitting in a pew, not knowing where God wants you, not active in his service, just kind of floating along with the stream, why don't you pray right now, God, show me my spiritual gift. Or if you please, if that makes you nervous, God, what is your will for my life in the church? I promise you this. If our people could understand that there is a supernatural gift in the hearts and bodies of everyone here, no matter how young or how old, if they're a Christian, this could revolutionize our church and its ministry. Right now, you've got a staff that's running itself crazy trying to do all the things that most of which you should be doing. Did you know that? You know how many folks came to visitation last Thursday? Very few. Brother Deacons, to my horror, not one deacon came to visitation. There's something wrong with that. I can't visit everybody, friend. Can't do it. I can't see everybody in the hospital every time. I can't go to everybody's house who's shut in. I can't visit everybody in the church. I can't do it. But you have the spiritual gift. We are a body. The head doesn't do everything. No, but there's arms and feet and eyes and mouths and legs and bodies. We're together. We're a family. We're a body, a ministering body. And that means all of us are involved, and all of us are important. The one thing this says to me is there is no insignificant believer in the church of Jesus Christ. No one is too small or too meager or too anything, but everyone has a spiritual responsibility. And my question to you is, are you on the line for God? Or are you on extended R&R in the back of the line? Are you an active, seeking, ministering person, developing your own ministry in the world and the church? Or are you waiting in the pew for somebody to say, oh, please, 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 won't you please do this for me? Who are we working for? If we're working for Jesus Christ and know that He's with us moment by moment, knowing that we have a spiritual gift in our hearts that God Himself picked out just for us, that no one else in this church can do what God wants you to do, no one else may have the capacities and the gift to function as you are to function. And then I want to say, let's rise up, Trinity Baptist Church, and let's go out in the world as a united unity, but not uniformity. Varieties, oh, there's so many of us, but one Lord and one God and one Spirit. Many different expressions of love and concern, but one purpose. And that's magnifying the name of Jesus Christ in a lost and dying world. Be it in world missions, be it across the street, be it at your local grocery store, or be it in a big office building. Be it small as people count smallest, or be it out in the public. God's got a place for every one of you in this building this morning. And my challenge to you is, are you functioning with God's gift? Lord, it's never comfortable when we try to analyze exactly what we're doing with our lives. I'm so thankful, God, that there's not ranks and orders in your spiritual gifts, but there's just your Holy Spirit who gives freely to all men. I pray here, God, if there be someone who's not a believer, that they might come to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior today and let God infill them with a supernatural gift of service and ministry. I pray, Lord God, if there are Christians here who for years have not really understood what your will for their life and the church is, that God, right now, as we're praying together, they might pray, oh Lord, show me your will for my life in the church. As every person in this auditorium thinks about their own life and heart, God, show these precious people exactly where you want them in your body. And oh God, forgive us in our pride and in our self-righteousness. Forgive us, God, in our judging. Oh God, forgive us, we pray. Fill us with your love and concern and drive us out in the world, we pray, that we might not be an in-group of believers, that we might be the church of Christ out in the world. God, I thank you for this time of sharing today. I pray for those who have differences of opinion that we might pray together and we might love one another in the midst of our differences. Oh God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Him here today. Help us as we try to study your word, God. Keep us from error, we pray, and keep us in thy will, in Jesus' name. Amen.